Well, hello, this is E.J. McMahon. I'm a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute and with the Manhattan Institute's Empire Center for New York State Policy. And I'm happy to participate in this inaugural podcast for the website publicsectorinc.com. And with me today is Eileen Norcrust, a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. And Eileen has written a piece for the website that describes the pension accounting rules for public pensions and why they're problematic and how they actually have led to and encouraged the kind of funding shortfalls that pension funds have experienced. Eileen, welcome, and could you kind of summarize for us what it is you've written about?
Thanks for having me. My piece concerns the accounting in public sector pensions and how it has underestimated the amount that's owed to public sector workers. And it gets down to the discount rate that state and local plans have been using to value the size of the liability. They've been claiming that they can choose a discount rate based on what they think the assets are expected to return in the market. And according to financial theory, that's the wrong way to go. Instead, a discount rate should be chosen to match the liability, which in this case is a guaranteed payment for the worker. And the result of that is that the $628 billion that is owed to public sector workers, that's the liability, which is already very large, is actually $3 trillion.
Since this is one of the concepts that immediately gets people hung up a bit when they're trying to understand public pensions, could you explain what a discount rate is and how it works and why it's important, just in general?
Sure. A discount rate is selected. Discounting, first of all, is really reverse compounding. And you're asking the question, how much money do I need to set aside today in order to realize a particular amount in the future? So you want to select an interest rate that you apply to that figure in order to know what you need to put aside today to grow into the future. So in choosing a discount rate, you want to make sure that you're matching the discount rate characteristics with the characteristics of the liability. And again, that's in the case of a public sector pension, you want to choose something that's low risk, such as the rate on treasury bonds. And when you do that, the amount you need to set aside today grows.
Does that mean you have to invest entirely in low risk assets such as pension treasury bonds?
Not necessarily. It will inform the investment strategy. And indeed, that's what we've seen in public sector plans. They've been choosing very high discount rates based on expected rates of return in the market, and they've been pursuing, as a consequence, a higher-risk investment strategy. If you were to choose the treasury rate, it would inform your strategy. That's not to say you would exclusively invest in treasury bonds, but it would inform your investment strategy.
So the general rule of thumb, then, on discounting is the higher the rate, the less you have to put aside now, because the more the money is assumed to appreciate as you're putting it aside.
That's right. You're banking on these high expected returns to earn that money for you.
Now, is this what is done? What do private sector corporate pension plans do?
Private sector plans are using the right principle. They're choosing a discount rate based on the nature of their liability. And in the private sector, they can assume it's not as guaranteed as a public sector plan. So they're picking a corporate bond rate of 6%, and that matches the nature of the private sector liability a bit better. But now, in the public sector, we're dealing with a government-guaranteed pension, which is supposed to be low risk and risk-free. Therefore, a treasury rate is more appropriate.
So who makes the rules here that they're following? Why is it that the private sector follows one set of rules that sound pretty conservative and the public sector follows another set of rules that sound kind of lenient?
Well, public sector accounting is informed by GASB, the Government Accounting Standards Board, and the private sector has its own set of rules that come from private sector accounting standards boards. You've got two different standards agencies. And the GASB has simply chosen this rule. It's been in place for a while. And it's also echoed by the current public actuarial standards. So it's reinforced by current actuarial practice in the public sector.
So we're at a situation, as you mentioned earlier, where because the public sector pension funds use this sort of lenient standard that allow them to assume that they will pretty much always earn what they hope to earn, whether or not they actually can expect to earn that, that they're understating their liabilities. That, as you said, I think that their liabilities are actually much larger than they're willing to admit they are.
That's right. They're far larger, and then this starts to inform not only the investment strategy, but the kind of promises that they're making to public sector workers. It looks cheaper on paper than it actually is, and there's an incentive then to promise workers very generous benefits, and that's what we've seen in California, New Jersey, and other states. These formulas have gotten enhanced over the years.
So if you have a formula that lets you understate your liabilities, you then price, as it were, the pension at a lower rate of support from the employer when people are suggesting you offer a better benefit.
Right, and New Jersey is a good example of this. In 2001, right before the tech bubble burst, the legislature, on the eve of an election, said we're going to grant a 9% benefit increase to our public sector workers. And they had no real idea of the size of what they were promising. So they baked this into the formula, and it looked fine on paper. The market was doing well. They looked overfunded on paper. In reality, they were undervaluing their liabilities, and they weren't accurately measuring what they had promised.
Well, since the Government Accounting Standards Board, or GASB, doesn't seem to be in any rush to change this fundamental rule, and the public pension funds don't seem to be in any rush to adopt the better accounting standard that you're suggesting, what kind of hope do we have that any of this will change? Is there any way that they can be forced into doing a better job of being transparent about their true financial condition?
Well, that is the that is the impetus for the current legislation being offered or talked about by Representative Ryan in Congress, and that is to get the states to do their accounting, their pension accounting, correctly according to this method. And if not, the stick is they won't be able to issue tax-free municipal debt. But I would hope that in lieu of the federal government getting involved, that states would simply establish the right accounting, institutionalize it in their own legislatures, create a law that says, we need to get the accounting right to measure the size of the liability correctly and to project what we owe accurately 30 years into the future, and let the standards boards, debate it. And that's what's going to happen. It's probably going to take a while for these, for GASB and for the actuarial profession to work out their disagreements, and they're actively debating this right now. States don't have the luxury of waiting for that to be sorted out. And certainly, you want to know how much you owe if you're going to have any hope of paying it and any hope of making the choices that they need to make today in their budgets to set enough aside.
Well, so we certainly want to keep an eye on that congressional proposal to see if that gets anywhere. And one priority then at the state level in terms of policy should be to encourage states and I guess localities where they control their own pension systems to insist on this type of transparency, at least in terms of reporting, if not funding their pensions.
That's right. The first step should be an accurate reporting, a clear measurement of what is owed and over what time period and how much needs to be set aside. That should just be a sort of basic principle that they're budgeting under.
Well, good. This has been really interesting. It's a really good primer on this issue that I think people who use the new Public Sector Inc. site will find useful. And it's entitled Unrealistic Pension Accounting Rules, Covering a Multitude of Shortfalls by Eileen Norcross. And Eileen, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thanks for having me.